stolen by Frazier. Down the lane with the floater, but it's good.
Now has starts for Ewing. Ewing with the spin. Ewing, yes. Quick spin move from Anthony. Count it and one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Knicks Fan Podcast, episode 7. I'm here with Anthony once again.
Yo.
We are just fresh coming out of this Knicks-Miami Heat game that just went down. It was a good game.
Yeah, definitely a good game. Knicks had a nice lead.
Yeah.
Going into the half.
And we had a really good first half.
Yeah, definitely. We played some great defense. It was good to see the Knicks keep up with the Heat. Honestly, I thought the Heat were going to want to try to make a statement after we beat them by 20 points the previous two games. But you know what? We actually kept up with them, and we played them very well.
And I think they did try to make a statement, or at least they were playing the way that they usually play. You saw a lot of trapping when we try to execute the pick and roll. They're really good at that, trapping Felton especially. But we were able to get the ball out of his hands and actually created a lot of open shots for us.
Yeah, coming out of that game, actually, I feel better. I feel like if we do meet them in the playoffs, and watching them play today, I think they have a pretty good chance at beating them in seven.
Well, yeah, that would be, you know, that's another conversation, but that would be a pretty big task, I would think. But yeah, we played well. You saw a lot of ball movement early on, especially around the perimeter. Jason Kidd was 4-for-4 in the first half, I believe.
Yeah.
From shots from the outside. He had a good game, good comeback game.
It was good to see the confidence that he was taking those shots, those open threes, because lately he's been passing them up.
Yeah, and that's been the discussion. It's a confidence issue. Right. I mean, I don't know, you know, I'm not in the league to kind of know stuff like that, but that's what they've been saying. He's been in the league nearly 20 years. I wouldn't suspect that he would still have a confidence issue. But it's great to see him shoot the ball well, because when he does get that elbow three-pointer, we need that to go in.
Yeah, definitely. Those open threes he has to be making. You think he should be coming off the bench like he is now?
You like the
new starting lineup?
Yeah, I don't mind it because it gives us a little bit more size and athleticism. I mean, James White is only playing 8 to 10 minutes so far. He played 8 minutes against Washington and 10 tonight, or maybe reverse that. And he's not really doing anything. If you look at the stats, it's pretty much zeros across the board. Except once in a while, he'll get a turnover, you know?
Yeah, he'll force a turnover. He knows how to rebound the ball. Not that he's one of our best rebounders or anything, but you like to see the aggression on the boards.
He's known for having, for being somewhat a capable defender. Outside of that, I don't think we know what he does, if he does anything at all. Yeah. He can't dunk, as you saw in the dunk contest, so I don't know what we're doing with him.
I don't know if James White is the ideal player to replace Kidd in the starting lineup. I mean, maybe you could put Novak in instead, but I do like Kidd coming off the bench. I feel like he has more confidence. He's just playing better off the bench.
He doesn't have to, he doesn't have to take... Not that he takes over, but he doesn't have to kind of produce right away. You know, he can get into the game when there's already an established rhythm.
Yeah, I think there's a certain advantage coming off the bench. You see how the game goes for the first couple of minutes, and you see how the teams are playing each other. And I think that gives you a certain advantage.
Yeah, I think so. And he's an older guy. He still played 34 minutes today, which is actually more than Felton played.
Yeah, he played good. I saw some smart turnovers that he forced. He was shooting well. Yeah, he got a couple steals. I mean, down the stretch, he was putting up some shots that were questionable. But overall, it was a good game.
You saw him drive to the lane on two occasions, one of which he made the hoop, because I think Miami was kind of surprised that he even did that.
Yeah. I don't think they were expecting a shot too much.
And the second time, it was kind of forced because Miami was playing really tight defensively, and he couldn't get the ball to Melo or JR.
Yeah, and shot clock was running out.
So, yeah, he went to the hoop, and it was a shot clock violation. But that is just credit to Miami's defense, not so much Kidd's inability to play the ball. So, despite the loss, I was actually expecting Miami to come out in a much more aggressive way than they did. In the first half, you didn't see too much dominance from LeBron James or Dwayne Wade. They did get their numbers, but they weren't. You didn't see that dominance, that individual dominance I don't think.
Yeah, we played him pretty well. LeBron had a few plays. He had that putback dunk after after Wade missed that layup. That was a big play. And he got a couple turnovers. He had that steal, that errant pass by JR down the stretch when we were only down by four and we had the ball. I mean, that was a huge play by LeBron.
That ultimately, I felt like that ultimately cost us the game.
Yeah, we were in the game the whole time, and it sucks to see us blow a 15-point lead like that. But, you know, this is the Miami Heat. They're first in the East, and they're the team to beat. We played them pretty well.
I thought we played them very well. That 15-point lead, I knew that Miami was going to make a comeback from that, so I wasn't too worried about Knicks going, down in the third quarter. I knew that the Heat were going to rally. I was just thinking whether the Knicks would be able to withstand or match the Heat in that fourth quarter. I knew it was going to come down to that.
Yeah.
And I think we played them well. There was about a minute 10 left, and Miami went up by six.
Yeah, and it looked like Melo didn't really have the ball in his hands too much down in the last few minutes.
Yeah, he really didn't.
Felton drove to the hoop a couple times and kept us in the game.
He got two buckets. We dropped the lead down back to four, and we got a crucial stop on the other end. Well, not a stop. James missed a shot. We rebounded the ball. And with about 30 seconds left, that's when it was going to come down to that play. And that's when JR created the turnover and led to LeBron's easy dunk. And that was pretty much the game.
Yeah.
So it sucks to lose a game off a turnover, especially when you're in it, when you're still competing and you can still win that ball game. Despite the loss, I'm still happy the way they played. They actually played well. We defended well in that first half, really well, I think, especially the perimeter.
Yeah, to go into the half up by 14, I mean, that's great against Miami Heat. Do you think Amari should have played more minutes? He played 21 minutes. He was 5-for-7. He actually had a pretty good shooting night. And he had the dunk over Chris Anderson. That was great. Yeah. He dunked on him after getting blocked by him earlier.
Yeah, he had three dunks in the game. I thought he was playing well. I didn't think he was that vulnerable on the defense. I felt like the Heat weren't really attacking him all that much.
You think he wanted more minutes? Remember that quote you read last week about the game's tight. He wants to be in the game, especially when he's playing well. And today, I think he did play well. He might be a little. I don't know how he feels about not playing more minutes than that. But
I mean, he's a great one-on-one player, and we kind of saw that today a little bit when he was playing baseline against Chris Anderson. And even Chris Bosh, I kind of do wish they included him down the stretch.
Yeah, he only played 21 minutes. I think he could have used a few more minutes
on the offensive end. If you noticed, it was the fourth quarter where he played the pick and roll with Melo, two back to back plays where he had the open dunks.
Yeah,
you know, if they can kind of figure that out. I mean, obviously you can't use it all the time because defenses are smart too. But that's a really effective way to attack because Melo's going to draw that double and guys are going to be second guessing whether they should come off him or not.
Amari definitely improved that aspect of his game in the post. He knows how to post people up now, and he knows how he has his little trick moves. He does a spin.
Now he can play with his back to the basket. That's the big thing that he added to his game, and it's still evolving.
Yeah, it's good to see that. It's good to see the progression in his game.
Two things that really stood out for me today, other than the things we've been talking about, was, and this I noticed against the Warriors, which we'll talk about in a minute, but Shumpert's defense. I feel like he has more of an impact on the game defensively now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's not shooting well at all yet, but his defense is getting better and better every game as he's coming up back from that injury.
And he's still playing the same amount of minutes. Today I was watching him, and I felt like he played about 30 minutes, but he actually only played 21 minutes.
Yeah, you kind of wish he was in there a little bit more, too.
I do. He only made one shot out of four, and I think he's taking way too many threes. He was 0 for 3 from three-point land. He doesn't need to do that because that's not his game.
He did have an open three in the baseline, and as soon as I saw him get the ball and he was going to shoot, I had a feeling he was going to miss because he's not a big-time shot maker.
No.
He misses open threes a lot, open shots in general.
Yeah, he's a little bit more effective going to the hoop. I think at least draw the foul, and I think he's capable of that. Maybe it's just him kind of coming back and figuring out where he fits in offensively. because I think, you know, on the defense, that's where his mind is set right now.
Yeah, and that's what we like about him. I mean, we would like the perimeter defense that he brings to the table. It's huge.
He was on LeBron James for a lot of time, and he's a lot smaller than him, but he does still, he has those quick hands and quick feet.
He's kind of
anticipate things. And only that, you know, just those little things can really bother the offensive player. So I really appreciated that. The other thing I wanted to mention was Steve Novak's. He missed, I think, 3 open shots today from the arc.
3.
And that, to me, is just when you're playing a team like the Heat, they don't have guys that miss those shots.
Yeah, I mean, they have Battier, they have Mike Miller, they have Ray Allen. Oh, Ray Allen had a horrible shooting night today, by the way. But
he didn't play well. But if he did play well, the score would have been a lot different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he threw up some really crazy shots.
He was going off the glass like 3 times.
Yeah, like hard off the glass. Like, he was still shooting 3-point power from like a 2-point distance.
Yeah.
It was just ricocheting off the glass, like, had no chance. But yeah, like you were saying about Novak, that's why Novak only played 12 minutes, too. I mean, if his shots aren't falling, then he shouldn't be in the game because he really doesn't bring anything else to the table other than that 3-point game.
Right. And he was in with a lot of the time that Ray Allen was in because those guys kind of just offset one another. But again, those shots are wide open threes. He's a utility player, meaning that 3-point shot is what we use him for, and he, you know, not much else. So when he's in the game, we're looking for him to be open. You know, we're creating scenarios in which he's able to get open.
Yeah, and he has to step up in those situations.
He has to step up. I don't know if it's, you know, just a slump, if it's a pressure thing, but he's our 3-point specialist, and we can't have JR. Like today, where he shot, what was he, like a
5 for 18, and 14 of those shots are 3-pointers.
He's shooting that's a little excessive.
He's a little trigger happy from the 3-point line lately.
He is,
He hits them, and he's capable of hitting the big shot. But I mean, you go 3 for 14 from 3-point line, you shouldn't be shooting up 14 3-pointers.
No, especially, you know, JR. Many of those are not great looks.
No, they're not. I mean, it doesn't matter to JR if it's a great look or not. He'll shoot it.
But, we scored 59 in the first half against the Heat. I think that's really impressive. We held them to 45 points. Second half obviously was different, but you got to expect that from the champs.
Yeah, second half we got outscored 54 to 34.
And, you know, like I said last week, I thought the Knicks would get blown out in this game only because they hadn't shown any sort of passion or intensity, and the Heat, they've been on a roll, and those guys are serious ballers. They take this basketball thing very serious. So I expected them to come in and really test the Knicks, but I'm glad they were able to put up a fight, really hang in there.
It really came down to the last minute.
I mean,
it was a game. It was a game the entire time.
Right. It was a loss, but it wasn't an ugly loss. They competed the whole way.
Yeah, you can't feel bad about a loss like this. They did definitely competed the whole way. And a win would be great. I mean, to take 3 away from Miami.
Win would be fantastic.
It'd be, yeah. And that would be our 5th win in a row, too. So, and we would end their streak.
4th.
No, we won. I think we won 4 already, didn't we?
No, we won. Our first win, I think, was against Philly. We beat Philly, the Warriors, and Washington.
All right.
So it would have been nice to end the Heat streak and keep ours going. But now, coming out of this afternoon game, playing as well as we did, and going down with a loss, it's all about how we rebound and come out tomorrow night against the Cavaliers with or without Kyrie Irving. We're not sure if he's playing yet.
Yeah, the test comes now in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a couple back-to-back games. we're going to be traveling a lot on the road. We also have a West Coast trip, like a 5 or 6-game West Coast trip coming up.
Really?
Yeah, so the true test is coming now, and it's going to get us ready for the playoffs. Hopefully we show up and we bring emotion to the game like we haven't been lately.
Yeah. Let's go talk about the Warriors game.
Oh, that Warriors game was amazing. That was one.
That was a lot of fun to
that
watch.
That was probably the best game I've seen all year. I mean, yeah. Stephen Curry just couldn't miss. He was the only source of offense for the Warriors. And he went for 54 points. So a career high for
career
him.
Career high. And he was -4. They were -4 when he was on the floor. I don't know how that's possible. But he shot 64%, and he made 11 3-pointers, which is some kind of record somewhere.
Yeah. There's something about the Garden that just brings this out in people. And yeah. Stephen Curry, I mean, he's getting better every day, and He's going to be an elite player pretty soon.
You kind of see how talented he is when he's healthy and able to play and able to get that momentum and that consistency.
It was a good game, man. It went down to the wire. It was entertaining the whole time. It was back and forth. The Warriors didn't have David Lee, who's serving a suspension for the scruff he got in with Roy Hibbert against the Pacers.
Right. Yep.
How that impacted the game. I'm sure Chandler wouldn't have went for 28 rebounds that game if David Lee was in.
I agree, which was also a career high for him.
Yeah, props to Chandler. I mean, that's almost
a monster. Yeah, he got, was it? Did he have two or three back-to-back 20-plus rebound games?
I don't remember. Back in a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
I think it was three. Yeah,
he tied like some franchise record.
He had like 15. In this Warriors game, he had like 15 in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's 14 or 15. Yeah, I knew it was like some ridiculous number like
that's,
that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, and he sat the last 2 minutes of the quarter. Otherwise, I mean, I think the NBA, I forgot what they said the NBA record was, but he had the potential of breaking it if he played the whole quarter. That's another thing. Stephen Curry played the whole game. He didn't sit down for 1 second that whole game.
Yeah, I noticed that. He didn't really,
why would you? He's the best player on the court.
Played the entire 48 minutes. Yeah. But I was like, wow, this guy, it was the beginning of the fourth quarter and he was already out there. Usually you give the starters a little rest.
Yeah, but he's young and he was on fire. You don't want to bench a guy like that when he's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When he's shooting that good. He's the reason that they actually shot 50% from the game, and we shot 41, but.
Yeah, Melo had 35 points, but watching him play, it seemed like he had a really quiet night.
Yeah, he's a quiet scorer. Sometimes, you don't really.
Yeah, those 35 kind of snuck up on you.
Yeah, if it's not in crunch time, you really don't pay attention to how many shots he actually makes in a game.
And I think part of it was he did get 13 points off of free throws. He was 13 for 15.
That's good. I'd like to see him get to the line. He should be driving more often and getting fouled.
Yeah. Steph Curry lit up Felton. I was furious at Felton's game because I felt like he just wasn't trying to understand when a guy's that hot and he's that talented. You just have no answer for him. But I felt like Shumpert had more of an impact.
Yeah. Shumpert's more of that the hounding D. He doesn't let you move.
And I was on Twitter bashing Felton. I thought the Knicks called timeout with 3 minutes remaining, and I was like, okay, just get Felton off the floor because he's not doing anything.
The thing is, though, what's ironic about that is Felton actually had that game-winning block pretty much.
Yeah.
Curry was pulling up for a shot, and the game was tied, I believe. Felton just comes up and blocks it.
He blocks the shot, and then...
And gets the ball back.
Right, and then I forgot. I don't know if it was the next. It was the final possession of the game. He gets a steal on the Warriors inbound, and pretty much wrapped it up.
Yeah, he had 4 steals that game. That's pretty good. And Shumpert had 6, so that's good. That's good defense by the Knicks. Even though we did allow 105 points, I mean, most of that you can attribute to Stephen Curry's hot shooting.
Those are skewed numbers, obviously, because this guy was on fire. But none of his teammates really.
No, no one else did too much. No one did much.
But. Felton really had those last 3 minutes. I don't know what Woodson said in the timeout, but he got the block and then he got the steal and the game was over.
Yeah, that was a great game.
And that we could have easily lost that game.
That was a fun game to watch. I'm glad the Knicks won because I would have a different opinion about it, but that was one of my favorite games to watch this year, hands down.
And even all the highlights and all the post-game chatter, I think, it was all about Curry, but in parentheses was New York got the win.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me is the most important
part. A little
part.
Asterisk. And the Warriors aren't a bad team. They're 33-25. I mean, they're a good team. They're a playoff team. It's good to get that win.
It's good to get that win. We'll see them again a week from tomorrow in California. So and they'll have David Lee. So we'll see how we play them then. We also played Washington. I didn't really see too much of that game. I was watching at a bar with the volume off, so it's kind of hard to see the details. But the one thing I'll take away from that is that Felton finished with 23 points, which is great because I feel like he needs to be attacking the rim a lot more.
Yeah, he's quick. He knows how to drive and get to the hoop, and he knows how to score in the paint.
But he hasn't been doing that.
No, he hasn't been. I don't know what his problem is, but he should be.
And I think when he's at his best, he should average 14 to 16 points and 6-7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
At least
7 assists.
And
he should be getting more assists than he's been getting lately.
For the last 30 days, he's been averaging, his field goal percentage, number one, is 42%. He's been averaging 4.5 assists and 13 points.
Yeah, as a point guard, you have to get more assists than that.
And he's capable of doing that. I don't know why he hasn't been playing well. He did have the good game against Washington, but he didn't really distribute the ball all that well. He only had 4 assists, and he shot 9 of 18, which is, you know, 50%. That's excellent.
Absolutely.
For a point guard.
We did play good defense that game. That's what one thing I could take away from that game. We definitely played good defense. We kept the Wizards to 88 points.
Yeah.
We kept John Wall in check, which is most important.
Yeah.
He's the one that pretty much beat us last game, but Bradley Beal got away from us. He actually got went for a career-high 29 points. Something about these young, quick guards, we just have trouble stopping them from scoring so much.
Yeah, we have. That's because we have slow, poor defenders
on the
in
perimeter.
Our guards.
Yeah, our guards. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I think we have to value Shumpert so much more, kind of appreciate his skills and kind of harness them a little bit. And maybe that's why they're slow in bringing him back. He's still only playing 20 minutes, which... I don't know. No one's been asking Woodson why that is. I haven't found the reason why that is, and maybe that those are his minutes and he won't get any more.
Well,
I don't know.
That probably has something to do with the injury too. I mean, it's still, you still got to keep the injury in the back of your head because that's a serious injury, and you know, it has the potential if he does something to that knee again. I mean, it's potential to be season ending and maybe career threatening.
So maybe they're being, and you know, it could also be that his offense is atrocious. That might be it too.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I would like to see from Shumpert. It's better shooting, better numbers on the better shooting field goal percentage. He's shooting open jumpers, and some of them just aren't falling. They should be.
He hit one today. It was kind of a tough shot, and then he forced a couple of other shots. But he's shooting for the past 30 days. He's shooting 29% from the field. Guys that shoot that low normally don't play in the NBA.
Right,
but yeah. That just goes to show how valuable a defensive player really is. But we all know that he's better than that anyway. I guess it's just a matter of, you know, figuring things out. I mean, what is wrong with a player that's been playing for 2 months and has no offensive rhythm? What is wrong with him?
I don't know. Practice. It's all about practice.
I guess so.
practice. I'm talking about practice.
So that was the Knicks this week. I'd say it was a pretty good week considering the past 2 weeks that they've gone through.
Yeah, it's good to see them go on a little run and beat the teams they're supposed to beat and actually play a good game against the best team in the NBA right now, arguably.
We just gave Kenyon Martin another 10-day contract. Why didn't they give him the full contract, do you think?
I think they're still worried about him. They haven't seen him play too much. He played all of 5 minutes maybe against the Wizards. He did force a turnover. I like the energy he brought. He forced the turnover, and no, it wasn't against the Wizards. It was against the Warriors.
No, it was against the Wizards.
Was it that he came in?
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't play against the Warriors.
It was against the Warriors. It wasn't against the Wizards. Wizards, he didn't play. Warriors, he came in for 5 minutes. Forced the turnover. It was good to see the energy from him. I think they're worried. He's still old. He hasn't played in a year. Let's put him on the 10-day contract for now and just make sure he doesn't get hurt. And
you think they're afraid to commit? Because, you know, if we sign him for the season, then we can't.
Oh, yeah, then we're done. What are we going to do? I mean, if we need that roster spot for anything else, then
right.
we won't be able to. Another good note is that Camby's back. He actually suited up today against the Heat, but didn't play. But it's good to see some our bench players, our injured bench players coming back, especially the centers, because we need some help in the center.
Yeah, that's where we're thin. So it's good to get a couple of big guys in there, but unfortunately, all our big guys are in their 40s.
Yeah, and Rasheed Wallace isn't going to come back for a while. I mean, if anything, he'll come back in the playoffs. I don't even know about if he'll make it for the first round. He might make it second, third round, but
yeah,
he's out for another 7 weeks.
He's out for about 7 weeks, and honestly, I think he's done. There was a lot of chatter about how he was going to come back and potentially get the Knicks out of that slump that they were in. I always thought that was kind of ridiculous for people to even.
Yeah,
consider
I mean,
that?
When the Knicks are losing like that, there's always something that people, the fans have to point to and be like, oh, maybe if we had this or if we had that. The bottom line is our core players have to play better, and that's what it comes down to.
Definitely.
And they did today. I mean, we didn't have, I mean, Kmart didn't come in and make a difference against the Heat. We just played better overall.
Yeah, we didn't need him today.
No, the ball distribution was everything.
Especially when we as fans, as, you know, we're just fans of the game. We don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. But as fans of the game, we don't know yet what Kmart is going to bring to this team. So when we're playing well against the Heat like we were, you don't want to, like, start mixing things in and just throw this guy in the game, you know?
Yeah, for no reason.
Right, when we don't have to. So, I look forward to seeing him play. I kind of want to see him. Hopefully tomorrow we're playing a Cleveland team that, you know, obviously they have no shot at the playoff picture. So maybe if we get a nice lead, we can include Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, let's see. I'm curious to see how we contain Kyrie.
We can't. There's no way, but we can contain the rest of his team. And
I like the optimism, Bruno. I like the optimism.
Well, I'm never too optimistic about the Knicks, just because, you know, they have an atrocious history. But I am looking forward to the playoffs this season. There's a chance, and I was looking at the standings, there is a chance that we could play the Bucks in the first round, which I think would be ideal, considering that, you know, Boston is playoff tested. That's what they do. They live in the playoffs. They compete for titles. The Milwaukee Bucks are kind of a team. I wouldn't say they're on the rise, but they don't have the playoff experience. And Brooklyn also doesn't really have the playoff experience. So I would feel really comfortable playing the Bucks if they can get up to that seventh seed.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Bucks. I don't think they have a strong front court. I think Chandler will be the MVP of that series. He's gonna
abuse.
Yeah, he's gonna abuse the boards. He's gonna get an insane amount of rebounds, I think, if we end up playing the Bucks. I'll be happy playing the Bucks. I mean, we just gotta watch out for Brandon Jennings. He's a quick guard, and that's one of our biggest weaknesses.
And they also just traded for JJ Redick, who they have coming off the bench.
Well, that's right. That's another one. Yeah, we gotta be careful with that, but. Yeah, I don't mind playing the Bucks. I think we could take them in 5-6 games easily.
Yeah, I agree. Especially over Boston or, you know, Brooklyn, Chicago, Atlanta. They're all kind of
yeah, Boston for some reason. I just don't. Yeah, I'm not too comfortable playing them.
No, because I feel like psychologically they have a huge advantage over us.
Right. As we stand right now, we're playing Brooklyn after today's loss, and Indiana plays tonight against Chicago. If they lose, then we'll be tied.
I expect Indiana to win tonight.
But as of now, we're third place, with Indiana above us by half a game.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind playing Brooklyn either. I feel like they're very vulnerable for some reason.
They have a strong starting five though. I think they can pull away.
Oh yeah,
I think they could bring the game. They could bring the series to 6 or 7. I think.
And they have a very balanced traditional basketball team. They have a traditional center, traditional point guard, and kind of all the guys in between. Like they're a very balanced
squad. They got
their
Joe Johnson. They got their clutch guys.
Yeah, they do. They just haven't been playing all that well together, especially recently. They lost 2 in a row. I'm not sure if they play today, but hopefully they lose. but yeah, the playoffs are going to be tough. You got to remember that the Knicks, we've been in the playoffs the past 2 years, but we haven't played. You know, the first year was when we first traded for Melo, and we went into the playoffs. Amari was hurt. Billups was hurt, so we got swept by Boston. That was a very ugly series. And then last year, we played the Miami Heat in the first round, and it was a shortened season. So I feel like we haven't really established ourselves as a postseason team.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see the Knicks get out of the first round for once.
Yeah, and really get that experience kind of, because that really helps you figure things out as a team. When you play someone else in a 7-game series.
Yeah, everything's different in the playoffs.
Everything's different. I'm confident we can get out of that first round. But, you know, we'll see how the games go.
But I don't want the first round to go to 7 games. I don't want us to tire out like that. I think we should be able to take the first round in 4 or 5 games. I'd feel a lot more comfortable about the Knicks if they do that. Get some rest in between.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it would be difficult to do that against any of these teams. Maybe the Bucks, or maybe, you know, a surprising Boston thrashing. I mean, because, you know, that team is old. They're one injury away from being over, basically.
Yeah, and they're missing one of their best players, obviously, with the season-ending injury to Rondo.
Right.
But for some reason, they always have our number. I don't know what it is, and something about them.
But we're still a ways from the playoffs, and this week, we actually have a very busy week. Tomorrow night, as we mentioned, we're in Cleveland. Wednesday, we're in Detroit, and then Thursday night is a big game, primetime game for New York Knicks. We're home playing against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, that's going to be an exciting game.
That's going to be a great game.
And then Saturday, we actually have the Jazz. We host the Jazz in MSG again.
So those are going to be two big games against two playoff teams and then two non-playoff teams, East Coast teams that we're familiar with. That Thunder game is going to be huge. And I definitely think the way the Knicks are playing right now, that we can definitely take that team.
That'd be a great win if we could take that away.
Yeah.
I mean, we played good against the Heat today, but to beat the Thunder would be good too.
Oh, that would be great.
I just don't want to see, you know, a Thunder rout.
No, I don't think we'll see that. I mean, Westbrook is probably going to give us problems.
Durant, as usual. I mean,
Durant's going to do his thing, but we have, if we have Melo to kind of guard him, I would love to see that matchup, those two guys guarding each other the whole time. We saw Melo and LeBron in the second half guarding each other.
Yeah.
I really like to see that. And, Melo and Durant are considered the two best scorers in the NBA. Seeing those guys go head-to-head is going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be one of those high-scoring games.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for that game. Thunder are playing very well recently, too.
Yeah.
And they're just a great team overall. I think they might take first place in the West, the three games behind the Spurs. Big injury to the Spurs with Tony Parker going down for 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's
the Thunder,
huge.
The Thunder have a good potential of taking over that first place seed.
Yeah, they're actually battling the Clippers as we speak. And I think those two teams are really going to try to sneak past San Antonio for that first overall seed. It's going to be an interesting finish to the NBA season.
Only about 6 weeks left. Can you believe it? 6 weeks.
I know. Now it's like every game sort of means something.
Yeah, every game. Yeah, man. It's been a while. It's been a long season.
It's been a very long season. And
their ups and downs.
Yeah, I think we're now a little bit on the rise again. I think they kind of figured a few things out.
It's good to get that bad stretch out of the way in mid-February.
That was a long stretch, I felt.
Yeah. Well, it's better in February than in April. You don't want to see something like that in April. You want to get their stuff together.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. So things are looking up. Despite today's loss, you got to admire the effort, and you have to certainly be optimistic about the way we played defensively and on the offensive end. Even if you're just looking at the first half, that ball movement, that's what we saw the first few months of.
Yeah. I actually like to see that a lot because we ran into a lot of problems with the Pacers trying to create offense. And against the Heat, it looked like we had no problems creating offense. We were doing the pick and rolls. We were running the pick and rolls to perfection. We were distributing the ball. We were swinging the ball on the outside and hitting some open threes. It just looked good.
Yeah, overall, they look fantastic. I expect more of that this week. I expect a nice bounce-back win tomorrow night. Hopefully, the Knicks can pull that one out, but I don't see why they wouldn't.
Make sure to follow us at Twitter at KnicksFanCast and send us any questions and keep the discussion going.
Yep.
We'll be here next week after this four game week that we got coming up. And thanks everybody for listening.
All right, guys. Take care.